Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text, of course, is the gospel lesson. And after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So we come to talking about a meal that the disciples, they didn't understand and quite know what to make of it all. Although, being disciples of Jesus, they could at that point discuss their place in glory and the kingdom, and who would sit at Jesus' right and left in the kingdom. And that was their idea of theology. Jesus confronts them, and he teaches them. And this is the real theology. He makes it real. It's what Jesus did that evening, and this is the place, and this is the meal where Jesus teaches them and teaches us to know God in a very intimate way. This is the place where God washes feet. And gives himself in bread and wine. And we find out that he is all about winning our salvation and winning our souls so that we can be his and live forever with him in his kingdom. And he goes thoroughly beyond all of the simple facts and into what does it all mean? How can we know the heart of God? He's doing something very special and something totally unheard of and unexpected when he sets out the bread and wine and tells them that it is his body and his blood and then says, "Take, eat. This is my body. And my blood of the new covenant. Drink of it. All of you." You can see the disciples inside, they're saying, "Wait, what? But all that was done on the cross, he brings into that supper and he wraps it up and puts it into this meal and offers it with the words, "Given and shed for you." As on the cross he offered up himself to his Father as a sacrifice for sins, in this supper he offers and gives himself to you. To strengthen your faith, to feed your soul. And feeding your soul means so that you can believe. By his words, be convinced. Deep down inside, no matter what's going on the surface, knowing from his words, way down inside, this is the real thing. This is God himself meeting with you. He himself is the meal. You know, it ought to be surprising enough to have God enter our world, take flesh on himself, be laid in a manger. You know, right there, that's way beyond what any human being would expect for God to do for him. But then, having taken on that human flesh, what Jesus intended and planned to do with that body, namely, take it to a cross, be nailed to the wood, to bleed and die for the sins of the world, to wash clean even the ones who swung the hammer, and the ones wielding the whip, and the ones yelling, "Crucify, crucify." That is beyond what any religious wise man in the history of the world could have dreamed up. That's why Christianity was mocked so thoroughly in the early centuries. This is not what you'd expect of God. That's why Christianity is sometimes mocked in our day. But that is our basic gospel, and it is how we begin to have a relationship with God. It's through what He has done. And then, if that's not enough, He gives a supper. And in that supper, He says, "My body, My blood," and gives you Himself to eat and drink. This is amazing. Even for Christians, and no matter how long you've been a Christian, this is amazing. It is astonishing stuff. Years back, I was asked, how do Lutherans become worthy to take communion? And the question hit me oddly, and I started laughing. I was meeting with somebody who was interested in the teachings of our church, who looked at me kind of oddly, "Why are you laughing?" And why I was laughing was hearing the words, "become worthy." How do you become worthy as a sinner of eating the body and blood of the sinless Son of God? And in fact, then I explain, we don't come to the Lord's Supper because of being worthy. That would be hopeless. We come because we are invited. How do I know that I'm invited? It's because of what Jesus said, "Shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And one thing that I can be pretty sure of is that I am a sinner. So you see, He's calling me. He's calling you. This is a supper that is not for the worthy, but for sinners. Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And this is God's theology. It is a weekly encounter. Where Jesus calls me with all that I am, all that I have, all that is inside, all of the sin, all of the wandering off that I've done in the past week, making no excuses, simply hearing the words, "My body for you, my blood for the forgiveness of sins. It's a weekly encounter with things that are so far beyond any of my ability to grasp and understand, or even less have control of. This is a time when I am in somebody else's hands. And he says, come. And calls me. And promises that he will give. And he will feed me with things that are eternal. He will share his life with me. But there's also the looking forward, the waiting part. How he finishes. Until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. You hear the promise there? Involved in the Lord's Supper is a waiting. Right now we feel the waiting more than we usually do. We feel that time that we are going without. I'm going to tell you a little story. It's a story somebody wrote up. It's about a grandfather sharing an apple with his grandson. And the grandfather sits there and pulls out his pocket knife and he begins to slowly peel the apple as he's talking with his grandson about this and that and everything. The grandson's looking at the apple and the grandfather keeps on slowly peeling it. It takes a good long time. And the grandson's looking at it. Looking at it. Finally, it's done. And the grandfather begins to slice it and share it. And the story goes like this. The grandson goes away. And he swears that somehow his grandfather has the best apples in the whole world. There's a little trick there. As he's waiting, it's going on inside the mouth here. As he's waiting, as he's looking at that apple, you know what's going on? His body is getting ready to bite into that apple. The saliva is going. The taste buds are aroused. And that time of waiting sharpens all of the senses. Well, we are in a time of waiting. But it's not just for the time when we will be able to get back together once again and celebrate the supper here. It has to do with everything in life. And we're waiting. But there's a promise from Jesus. There will be a day when he returns. The Bible calls it the great marriage feast of the Lamb. We will be with Jesus. And the supper will finally reach its fulfillment. Its fulfillment when every saved human being, now risen from the dead, from Adam and Eve to those alive when Jesus returns, they will gather together with Jesus for supper. Can you imagine 2 or 3 billion gathered for communion? And when that happens, it will be Christians. Christians of every kind of Christian, from every nation and language, from all the generations, coming together to share in the feast. I'm waiting. In Jesus' name, amen.